Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan McPherson, and I'm absolutely thrilled to tell you we are broadcasting once again from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites here in sensational Sandy Springs. As a reminder, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter, at Business Radio X, and today we're using the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. You can also follow me personally at Ryan Redhawk, and all tweets and comments are welcome there. And make sure you go like our Facebook page, Business Radio X. Interact there, leave your thoughts and comments, and see the photos of our in-studio guests. And now, it's my distinct pleasure to welcome to the Business Radio X flagship studio to an exciting guest. First, Tiffany C. Wright, the resourceful CEO. How are you doing, Tiffany?
I am doing great, Ryan. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about the resourceful CEO.
The resourceful CEO helps businesses prepare themselves for sale. We basically put in the infrastructure and help companies obtain the funding that they need in order to position themselves for sale, even if they're not going to sell themselves. It just helps them to free up their time and do the things that they really want. And then when they're ready to sell, they are positioned.
And that's where you come in, and yes, you're able to kind of put that in perspective for them, put on a roadmap for success in the sale of their business, which is not always an easy task.
No, it's not.
And so we look forward to hearing more about you, your background, and how you're helping businesses here today. So please stick with us. We'd also like to turn our attention to our other in-studio guest. Her name is Vanetta Daniels, and she is with VYD and Associates. How are you doing, Vanetta?
I'm good. How are you, Ryan?
Outstanding. So thank you for joining us here today. Looking at your bio here, you've got a lot of experience. Why don't we start there? Where did it all begin for you?
Well, I'm originally from Connecticut.
So okay.
That's where.
How long you been in Atlanta?
I've been in Atlanta 15 years now. I actually moved here when I separated from the Air Force, and went to Emory, worked for Emory, and that's kind of what put me in Atlanta.
I see. So here in Atlanta now, you've got a military background. You're in the Air Force for how long?
6 years.
6 years. Mm-hmm. And what was your job in the Air Force?
I was avionics. So I was an aircraft electrician. I worked with the U-2 program. So put this out in the universe. My favorite Transformers movie is the second one because the SR-71 saves the day.
And there was no interest in pursuing that line of work when you got out?
I actually, when I first went into consulting, I was originally recruited into Bearing Point's aerospace and defense practice.
Right.
So I supported the PMO for the C-5 modernization project at Lockheed. So I originally went into consultant in the aerospace and defense, but during my time at Emory, I worked in public health. And so I did tend to bounce a little bit back and forth between supporting the CDC and Health and Human Services and Grady Healthcare, as well as doing aerospace and defense projects.
And then at some point you decided to open up your own shop and start servicing.
Did.
So the entrepreneurial spirit is in there. What was that journey like for you?
It was kind of a strange mix of just, I had an opportunity to do some work for the Eastlake Foundation, which is a fantastic organization. And I just said, you know, let's kind of use that. Let's just kind of do this work for a year, see where it goes. And then I just kind of decided to stay on that trajectory.
And here we are today. And VYD and Associates has been around how long?
We've been around since 2010.
So 2010. Mm-hmm. And what are you doing for folks out there?
Well, we've done some, actually, and you'll appreciate this as a veteran. So we've done some work for the U.S. Department of Labor. Originally, the work we engaged did some research and gap analysis and helping the Department of Labor make research-informed policy decisions specific to women's veterans employment. And so recent Gulf War era women veterans have the highest rates of unemployment. And so really, we were brought in to kind of do a state of the state of what, you know, what dynamics are exclusive to women veterans. Being a kind of hands-on person, also being prior military, I actually picked up the phone and called the transition assistance office I separated the military from. And she was like, this sounds great. She's like, we don't even capture gender as a demographic. And I was like, oh, so we don't really have the data to even compare, like, you know, are women participating in using the resources because they're not? So a lot of those things have been remedied since then. But, yeah, you know, it, as someone who I'm a female veteran, I have two first cousins who are currently serving. It's, you know, work that intimately I was engaged in.
All right, right. And so you saw a need out there and you were able to fill this need, and the transition department there at the Air Force didn't even know there was a need for this. It sounds like you presented this need to them.
No, actually the work was, we bid on the work with Department of Labor. So it was work that was actually done through the Department of Labor. Transition assistance programs, for those who don't know, is actually a collaboration with Department of Labor and DOD. And so, you know, a lot of times it's just kind of, it even just falls down to, you know, how budgets get appropriated, kind of who has responsibility and where things fall. So there's a lot of different pieces that kind of go into transitioning out of the military, which are intimately familiar with.
Very. And dealing with some of these government organizations can be some rough waters as well. How did you navigate all those in the beginning?
I'm prior military, so I'm familiar with the government. I also had been a federal consultant, so. I did have some familiarity there. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of very good resources available for small businesses who want to get engaged, especially doing work, government work. In addition to SBA, I mean, you have Georgia Technical Procurement Assistance, and you have Small Business Development. So, I mean, there are resources available. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. There's so much stuff out there. You're just like, well, what applies to me? What works for me? And a lot of that is just trial and error. Mm-hmm. I think everybody has to figure out kind of what their own secret sauce is.
Yeah, that's so true. And so what does a typical client look like for VYD and Associates?
Actually, we've done work, federal work. We've done work for Georgia Tech. We've done work for the Eastlake Foundation. So we're not exclusive to any one industry or sector.
Okay. You're not just serving one niche at all. No, you're helping anyone who needs guidance in this arena.
Right. So, and with Department of Labor, that work tends to have a lot more of a research focus than some of the other clients we're looking at. Georgia Tech was actually I wouldn't say typical consulting, but doing more of an organizational effectiveness assessment, which is kind of management and strategy consulting kind of suite of services, whereas the work with Department of Labor definitely had more of a research focus. The work with Eastlake Foundation was helping them implement a performance measurement software. So it really just depends on kind of, and there are certain things we don't do. We don't do construction project management. There are definitely within consulting, which is a very broad realm. There's environmental consulting. There's a lot of things that are very niche, and that we're not really in that space.
How do I know if I need your services? Are you actively out there marketing, or is it through referral, or, you know, how do I even know I need to call VYD and Associates?
All of the above. So, you know, when you do work in state, local, federal, you're definitely marketing. You're definitely replying to requests for proposals. You're building relationships, so you even know when those opportunities come available. And so relationship building is probably the biggest piece to it.
Building the relationship with the business community and connecting the people who need to be connected.
Right.
Right.
Because you have to, I mean, sometimes it's a case. And with Eastlake Foundation, I mean, we had relationships there, and they when they needed someone that did that, they reached out to people who they knew were in that space for either referrals or things of that nature. And so that tends to be how it works. Either on a commercial side, it's more they can just kind of reach out and say, hey, we're looking for this. And they'll usually reach out. A lot of times they reach out to big firms because that's just who they know. Mm-hmm. And actually that happens on the federal side too. Whereas on the federal side, you have more, because it's the government. I mean, it's either posted to an agency's website, or there's a central repository called FBO that most government agencies use. To put their, their market research on there. So there's a number of different ways that you can kind of market yourself.
And for those listeners who may have just joined us, we're talking with Vanetta Daniels. She is president and CEO of VYD and Associates. They were incorporated in 2010, and she is an Air Force veteran with more than 20 years of combined industry and management consulting experience. And you can look at their website, vydandassociates.com, for more information about that. So let me ask you this, though, but why Atlanta? Why did you decide to kind of set up shop here in Atlanta?
That's a funny story. So, well, one, I was already here.
Right.
And the cost of living makes it, the cost of living makes it easier to build a business here than, than other cities where, you know, the cost of living is just twice as much. I mean, that's just numbers. But ironically, I ended up in Atlanta when I was getting out. You know, when you take classes while you're in the military, the education office keeps your transcripts. And the education office in Germany had not given my transcripts to a lot of schools I applied to. So there were two schools that had a later transfer date, and that was Emory and UConn. And I'm from Connecticut. So as fate would have it, that was the first year UConn won the basketball championships. And so they had more students, you know, accept their more freshmen accept their acceptance letter than they had originally forecasted. So they had no room for transfer students. So I was like, well, I guess I'm going there.
Choice is made for you.
I guess I'll be in Atlanta.
And so here we are now, and BYD Associates and Associates is doing great work. You know, what's some of the big things on your horizon in 2016 for your company? What are some things you're looking forward to?
We actually just finished a second project with Department of Labor where we did all the content for their new website for women in non-traditional occupations. And so hoping to definitely do some more follow-on work with Department of Labor, as well as, you know, doing more local stuff here.
Yes.
Fortunately, the work we've done with Department of Labor doesn't require travel. So it's kind of work you can, you know, my team can pretty much, you know, it was like, I don't care if you work in your pajamas, like, you don't have to be on site. We have a call on Wednesday, you know, which is good, because sometimes consulting can be very, very demanding. It can be, you're on site for a lot of long hours. And so when you have those opportunities where, you know, you can win some work where basically your employees can work from home and kind of work hours that work for them, as long as we meet this project deadline, that's it. It's good to have those opportunities where you can provide that balance. And sometimes you just can't. But when you can, it's good to have.
No doubt about it. We hear that quite often here in the Business Radio X studios from entrepreneurs like yourself. So tell us a little more about VYD and Associates. I see you've got a couple of certifications here. First off, you're a certified 8A firm. What does that mean?
So 8A is a program through the Small Business Administration for small businesses, where it gives you access to certain, if you're doing work in the federal space, you do have access to be able to have work sole source to you.
Okay.
Now, usually it's an organization that, or it's an agency you've done work in before. So there's already a relationship there. And there's usually a justification. I mean, you're already doing work in this space. So to kind of continue, it also, I believe, qualifies you for certain SBA guaranteed loan products. And you also get some additional support. You have a business opportunity specialist assigned to you that will assist you in certain things. So, you know, it's, and again, like a lot of things, I will say it may not be for everybody.
Right.
You know, I've definitely heard people who are like, well, I think I should do 8A. And I'm like, well, do you do any work in the federal space? And they're like, no. I'm like, don't put yourself through that paperwork then. So that
was, I was going to say, what's some advice you would have for a listener out there who's thinking about taking that jump and going that route? You say you've got to make sure you're doing work with the federal government, and there's a lot of paperwork involved, and you want to make sure it's correct. But what are some of those early challenges that you experienced when making that decision?
There's a lot. I think everybody's situation is a little different. I think, you know, entrepreneurship is like, I use the term, it's the new sexy.
Okay.
I'll be the first to tell you it's very unsexy more often than not. It's not for everybody. It's a lot of times where you've got to work through the weekends. It's a lot of times where, you know, you can't take off with your friends for the weekend, or you may have to cancel trips. I mean, sometimes your time just really isn't your own. I've also heard that, you know, I want to start a business so I can have work-life balance.
That's
right.
Like,
well, you're not going to have it for probably at least the first 5 years if you're lucky. So I think that, you know, people, you know, if you're going to do it, and I definitely would never dissuade someone from entrepreneurship, but really vet it. Really make sure it's, and you know, you don't eat what you don't kill. So,
right. Yeah, if you're an entrepreneur and you want to start your own business because you want to go fishing more, I don't think that's the right reason to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
Yeah, unless you're a fishing guide or something, I guess. So yeah,
that would work.
So, entrepreneurship is certainly, it's like a buzzword. People hear it. They want to, you know, they dream of it as they're in the corporate world, but it's not an easy road. And especially if you're a veteran, if you're a female, if you're a minority, and you've got all those boxes checked off. So what advice would you give someone who's got some of those things up they're up against?
Those things have always been a factor. I didn't turn female yesterday, so I have nothing to compare it to. kind of happened that way.
That's right.
I think there's always going to be things you have to learn how to navigate. So that's kind of always been something. When I got to my first duty station, they had never had a woman of color do aircraft maintenance on that base. So
that must have been kind of
Kind of navigating interesting waters is definitely, definitely not anything new.
Right.
It presents its own unique challenges. We still definitely live in I would say the biggest thing is you're going to have to find, and I actually just gave this advice to a friend and his wife who decided they've gone into entrepreneurship. You're going to have to surround yourself with people who live that life and understand it, because unless you've done it, a lot of your friends, your family, they will be supportive and empathetic, but you will need people to be sounding boards. You will need people you can vent to in a way that's constructive and they get what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And there have been times where it's very stressful and you have to be around people who remind you, you're doing all the things you're supposed to be doing. It's just not working on the timeline that you want. And sometimes you need that advice, or you may need the advice of, okay, this might not be the best. I would also say don't surround yourself with cheerleaders.
Right. No
offense to anybody who cheerleads.
Okay, right.
but
we do need them, but we also need those people in our camp who are going to give us the honest feedback we need. Yeah.
Right, right. I mean, you do need people who are going to cheer you on, but you also need people who are going to tell you, like, okay, you need to make some changes. That's really critical. It's not for someone who's thin-skinned, though. Mm-hmm. So if you're not someone who enjoys getting that kind of direct feedback, then entrepreneurship may not be for you. And you're going to come into some hurdles. I mean, you're going to have instances where you deal with blatant lack of business ethics. And it happens. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to shake it off and regroup and move forward.
Right. So. And entrepreneurship may not be for everyone. You may take your stab at it there, and after a few years, you realize it's not for you. Mm-hmm. And it's perfectly okay to go back to work. Do you see yourself ever going back into the corporate world?
I mean, it's not unforeseen. I have to say, I definitely enjoy working from home.
Right.
So if I ever do that again, I'll probably look for something I can work from home. Mm-hmm. I've never really been a commuter. I've always lived inside the perimeter because I don't really like being stuck on the highway.
Well, that's good too, to know that VYD and Associates is over there, and you got a good team of folks helping you. It sounds like
I do. And fortunately, it's been people I've known for years, had relationships with. It's kind of the benefit of it. It's an interesting dynamic, and part of it is just the culture. I think a shifting culture with both millennials as well as Generation X is that. I have a lot of people that have supported me in this who have great experience, great degrees, also worked in Big Four and things like that. And at the end of the day, they're like, I've been there and done that, but I really do want to work for a small business. Like, I want to come in somewhere where I can, really feel like I can see where my contributions matter. And when you're, and it's no fault of corporation, but when you're part of a really big machine, sometimes it's harder to have that impact.
No, you're absolutely right. And we hear that again here consistently on the Business Radio X shows about how people want to be recognized and sometimes working for the smaller organizations with the same kind of servant leadership and like-mindedness makes your job more worth it in the long run. So what can we do here at Business Radio X to help you and VYD and Associates get the word out?
Well, I think these type of forums are always good. there's nothing like free marketing.
Right. Well, we'd love to have you back on. If you have new news to share with our listeners or exciting information, we're always looking for great guests like yourself, who, particularly the space that you're in, though. I don't think we've had too many guests in here that are providing that strategic consultative work to the government like you are. And so, you know, I just think that that subject matter warrants even longer discussion. But I think we've reached the end of the conversation here today. But let's remind our listeners how they can find out more information about you and your services.
Well, you can go to our website, vuidandassociates.com. You can also like us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And we do post updates on a lot of the work that we do. Actually, the work we've done specifically for the Department of Labor, we've been sucked into the vortex of a lot of veterans advocacy groups, which has really been great. And
yes.
So actually went to meet with the House Committee on Veterans Affairs to review a House bill that they had that was going to the Senate floor. And so a lot of those opportunities, you know, were made available to me just people that I've met through the course of doing that work. So,
well, veteran entrepreneurship is something that resonates with me personally. We're looking to have more veterans and more entrepreneurs in the studio in 2016 to share their story and also share that message to veterans who are just now entering the workforce or coming out of college and want to, you know, kind of get some ideas of what others have experienced. So thank you so much for taking the time out to join us today. Your message is certainly resonating with all of our listeners. One final question: when you're not changing the world of consulting and management for all that, what do you like to do in your off time in and around Atlanta?
Bikram yoga.
Hot yoga, right?
Hot yoga.
Oh, yeah. How long have you been doing that?
Consistently, maybe about 4 or 5 years.
And what are the best benefits you see from doing it?
Well, I personally have arthritis. I've had it since in my 20s, and was originally recommended to do yoga when I was in physical therapy when I was in the Air Force. And so I have a yoga studio / community that I love, this Indicator, and I'm pretty much there every day. And if I don't go for a couple days, I didn't go yesterday, I'm like a little cranky. So.
All right. Well, there you heard it here, folks. First, Vanetta Daniels, you can find her at Bikram Yoga or behind her desk over there at BYD and Associates. So thank you so much again. Please come back and be a guest on our program. We would love to have you.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, make sure you are following us on Twitter at Business Radio X. And today we're using the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. And now we turn our attention back to Tiffany C. Wright, the resourceful CEO and an entrepreneur herself. All right, Tiffany. So let's start there about entrepreneurship. When did this journey begin for you?
It began for me actually before I became an entrepreneur. When I lived in Japan, I worked for Honda as an engineer, and I was there for 2.5 years, and I traveled all around Southeast and East Asia and just saw opportunities that I had never seen before and stepped way outside of my comfort zone, And something said to me, there's the answer. You've never really wanted to climb the corporate ladder. You're going to be an entrepreneur and you're going to buy companies. Don't ask me exactly how it came to that, but that's what all of that led to.
Very interesting. And then what led you to Atlanta, Georgia?
Actually, back in 2002, 2003, I went into real estate investing and I was in California. And I had a feeling that the market was going to come to a halt. Actually, it was a presentation I attended where someone talked about the cycles and so on. And I said, okay, well, I'm not going to do this in California. I'm going to do this where? And I focused on 3 different markets and decided Atlanta was the place. So that's what brought me to Atlanta.
So never had visited here before?
Yes, oh, yes. Okay. My sister lived in Conyers.
Okay.
And I'd been here for the 96 Olympics.
Ah, I see. So you were familiar with the city.
I was quite young.
Yeah, right. But then you decided to come here and start your business. And what were some of those early challenges you faced along those lines?
Well, I would call myself a serial entrepreneur because I just started this last year.
Okay.
The Resourceful CEO last year.
Ah, I see.
The business that I had before this was an interim CFO and COO firm. And my business partner and I provided services and also provided people to different small and medium-sized businesses. And we just decided it was hard because you have to essentially move to wherever you are serving. So you're 6 months here, you're 1 year there. Mm-hmm. It's typically between, if you have shorter engagements, then it's typically not full in. It's more like a medium term. But essentially that was, so we decided to shift away from that. Also, we were getting a lot of inquiries about how we could help a number of small businesses. And we, with that business model, we couldn't. So we founded the Resourceful CEO.
The Resourceful CEO. And now you are helping businesses transition out of ownership and leadership and that. And that's not an easy transition. It's not a quick process. So walk us through what that kind of looks like with you.
Well, essentially, people come to me when they're frustrated. They very rarely does a business owner say, I am ready to sell. Typically, I mean, if they do that, it's because they were approached by someone, either a broker,
right,
which is often the case, or maybe a company made entreaties towards them to buy them. But typically, it's they're stressed out and they're working extremely long hours, as Vanetta had said, and they haven't had a vacation in years, or they can't do the things that they thought they could do, and they want to know how to transition from that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we help them do. Because in order for your business to have value to someone else, you have to separate yourself from the business because they're not buying you.
Right.
They want you gone after two to 3 years. And if you've been an owner, you don't want to be working for someone in your business. Believe me, you may think you do, but after a year or so, it starts to wear on you. Mm-hmm. We help them position, help them put in the infrastructure and the systems and processes and increase the cash flow and all of that that's necessary to have the business work well without them.
Right. And there's many ways to exit the business. It can be, you know, selling it outright. You can be, you know, just partially.
Yes.
Maybe you stay on board and work a little bit, or
that's
maybe the employees kind of step up. And you can help dial that in for that CEO and their business particularly.
That's right. Because there's myriad options. There's no one size fits all for anyone. Someone may be 55 and think they're ready to retire, but when they consider it, they say, oh no, I'd really like to do this until I'm 65. They can sell to their employees or sell to one employee.
Right.
So if you sell to your employees, it's typically an ESOP, an employee stock ownership plan. But again, you may have one employee who may not quite be ready, but you can get them ready over the next 2 to 3 years. There's just all these different options, and you just have to see what works best for you and what you want to do with the rest of your life after you sell your business, if indeed you want to sell
right
now.
And so your work cycle with your clients may be an engagement that lasts several years.
Yes. Well, typically it's for the ones where we do deep consulting and transition support, it's several months. It's more of an intensive, and then it's an ongoing
checkup,
monthly and then quarterly checkup, check-in, if you need any adjustment.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any recent success stories, without naming any names, that you can share with our listeners of one that you were able to help successfully exit their business?
Well, I have one company who he has not exited yet because he is actually in his 80s and he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to leave until essentially he cannot.
Okay, so he wants to work forever, it sounds like. Yeah.
But yes, we helped him get his cash flow together. He had serious issues. He had a serious inventory management problems, and he wanted his son to take over, but his son really did not have the business acumen that his father did. So we helped him bring in a general manager and a part-time general manager, and then also just get the company in a much stronger financial condition. And so that there's actually now there's a couple of different entities that have talked about buying into his firm. Mm-hmm. And so he's considering that. He's resistant, but he's considering it. So I consider that a success story because he's no longer stressed and he's able to do what it is that he wants to do. and the company is positioned for sale now.
And you were able to do what he wanted in the long run, right? You're not just doing what you think is the best fit for him, but you're listening to your client, putting a package together for him and his specific needs.
That's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. And you know, in situations like that, it's often the interaction with the owner. It's the owner sometimes that can be the bottleneck.
Yes. No, we've heard that here before many times here in the Business Radio X studios, and for sure. And for our listeners who may have just joined us, we're talking with Tiffany C. Wright. She is the Resourceful CEO. You can go to her website, theresourcefulceo.com, for more information. And she has her BS from the Ohio State University and an MBA from the Wharton School of Business. So pretty exciting there, right?
I'm in an SEC country, but.
Okay, hey, that's all right. You know, we welcome all here.
Yes.
So very good. And so, and then looking back on 2015 and your year, as we're here now in January 2006, what were some highlights for you over the last year in your business?
Well, it was because we just basically launched in January.
Okay.
It was getting some key clients and building our website. We're about to launch a membership website primarily to serve all those, because our typical client is about 5 to 20 million in revenue, but there's a lot of smaller companies that need help that we just can't serve. So we decided to launch a membership site to help them. And that is almost ready to launch. It'll be ready to go by the end of this month. So to me, that's a very big success that we could actually be profitable in our first year and have some good clients. And then also we're looking to make some acquisitions. So in October, we engaged a firm to help us make make an acquisition. And that's going along well. So those are very, very big wins for us.
Yeah, outstanding. Yeah, thank you for sharing. And so if I'm a company and I know I need some help, there's other players in this space. What separates you, the Resourceful CEO, from your competition?
Well, we focus on driving business value and cash flow. So I think some entities focus on sales, some entities focus on succession plans. We just focus, our primary focus is strengthening the business. So driving business value, that is, if I look at what your business is worth, getting that number up, and then also increasing your cash flow. Because a lot of times, unless you're getting a strategic buyer, people are looking at multiples of your cash flow. So if you don't have good cash flow, and sometimes you need to get external financing in order to be able to reach your cash flow, your operational cash flow objective. So that's what we focus on. I think that's what sets us apart.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks, that you can count on Tiffany and the team there at the Resourceful CEO to give you the best value for your business for sure. A couple other questions about entrepreneurship that I think our listeners are wanting to know. And so right off the bat, I'd like to know from your perspective, is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
I think so. I personally like entrepreneurs myself. We have a similar way of thinking. I think you just need to, if you have to be committed to their business, or committed to supporting them in their business, or just being a sounding board. But you also have to put your foot down in terms of what your needs are. And just good communication, because the business is the baby. And some people do a really good job of, as one of my Wharton professors talks about having, it's not about work-life balance, it's about integrating your work into your life. And that's what I think for me as an entrepreneur, that's what I've done. So I may be working at 2 o'clock in the morning, but that's, I also may have taken 3 hours off to go do something personal during the day. So it just allows me much more freedom. And since I have a lot of energy, it works for me. But if that's, you just have to be aware of certain things, and you have to have a higher risk tolerance, because I think that entrepreneurs will often say, well, you know, if you work for someone, that's a higher risk because that's only one source of income. Whereas if you're an entrepreneur, you have multiple sources of income from multiple customers. But yeah. For most of us through school, you're conditioned that the job is the way to go. So
yes.
Security, job, family, all that, which
may not always be the case.
That's right. And if your spouse has a seasonal business, so anyways, you just have to be able to be more comfortable with risk and be good at assessing risk and so on.
Yes. Very insightful, very on time with those assessments there from Tiffany, the resourceful CEO. How about this one? Is it a good idea or a bad idea to hire a family member?
I think it's a good idea. My brother has done some work for me. I think it depends. I think it depends on the person. If your family member is high energy and committed and so on, then but you have to look at them as you would anyone else. And
right.
I think that's what happens. People sometimes feel beholden to their friends or family and they don't assess them the same way. And then they're upset with the results.
Right. You know what? We heard that recently. We had a guest in studio, a father hired his daughter. Every day at work, the daughter would say, "Hey, daddy." "Hi, daddy." Well, the other employees didn't really like that. So they went back to calling him by his name because it created this atmosphere in the workplace of favoritism or special. Even though they knew she was his daughter,
right.
The way they addressed one another wasn't conducive to a good work environment. So great thoughts from your perspective. We always like to find out those because I know we have entrepreneurs or want to be, we say wantrepreneurs out there. And these are questions that they're asking themselves as well. So, and you see it from your perspective as an entrepreneur, but you're also helping businesses. You're working on people's businesses and their livelihood. So you have a unique double-sided perspective, I think, there.
Yes. Yes, I think I do. And then also, I also am an author, and I wrote The Funding Is Out There, Access to Cash You Need to Impact Your Business.
Okay, where can people find that book?
At Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Powell Books.
There you have it.
I know I'm missing some bookstores. Sorry, but that's where you can find it.
The Funding Is Out There shows business owners how to get the capital they need to flourish in today's competitive operating environments. Learn more how to lay the financial framework to create a viable, sustainable business that you can sell or pass on, because that's kind of what you do. You help people right. sell or pass on their businesses, right. whether it's a family business or a multi-generational business or just a recent startup that someone's looking to exit
right.
from. So you can help them there. So very good. Remind our listeners how they can find out more information about you and your services, please.
You can find us at theresourcefulceo.com, theresourcefulceo.com, on Twitter, resourcefulceo, Facebook, The Resourceful CEO. Just remember that.
Right. And of course, Tiffany's book, The Funding Is Out There. You can find that on Amazon if you want to pick up a copy for yourself. Or maybe there you have a family member who would like to enjoy this book. I'm sure she can provide you a copy for that too. So when you're not changing the world of other people's businesses or your own entrepreneurship journey, what do you like to do in your off time to stay inspired and motivated?
I work out religiously. If I don't work out, I start to get a little cranky.
What type of workouts do you like to do? Just weight training?
I ran track.
Okay.
And I intend to run track again on the master circuit. So for me, I do a lot of weights. Mm-hmm. I'm actually pretty strong. Not powerlifter strong,
okay.
but I've been surprised. I can squat like two sets of six. Of 325.
Wow.
And I can leg press significantly more.
Yeah.
But anyways,
yes.
I do that. I go skating, hiking, rollerblading, just physical activities. I like to do that. I do yoga.
Okay.
And then to keep myself calm, I try to meditate every single night.
Meditation is key. We've had some corporate meditating leaders in here to teach those high-level executives how to stay grounded and focused, and meditation is one way to do that. Breathing is important, as you may know, Vanetta, and yoga, how important breathing is. And so we hear that quite often here on the studio. So thank you so much, Tiffany, for joining us. If we can help you further your mission, amplify your voice here on Business Radio X, please let us know. We'd love to do so.
Absolutely. And same here. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay, listeners, you can forget about big media ambushes and fake pay-to-play interviews. We don't do that here at Business Radio X. We are pro-business earned media. So if your company is doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the website at businessradiox.com and pitch us your story. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan McPherson. We will see you on the radio.